thought he was the man to lead us through the long night. But I was wrong.
Do you like games, little man?
You would spill blood in this holy place.
The gods won't mind. They spill more blood than the rest of us combined.
Who are you?
No one.
The dead are coming.
Yeah! I love it. Yeah. I love it. It's almost red.
Less than 2 weeks remain.
Unreal.
I hope Tyrion's okay.
I think he'll be all right. Micah, you predicted it.
Another trailer?
Yeah, you're like, hey, it's a trailer.
And this one definitely delivers in terms of new scenes, because there's a... I don't know what the percentage level is, but in terms of new content, this one ranks above all the others.
Yeah, yeah. This would have been one of those moments for our podcast. First off, thank you everyone for listening to Game of Thrones. If we would have had the opportunity to record the evening when this dropped, it would have been...
Watch it a few times.
Yeah, I would have had
times.
Nothing to say. After I watched this trailer for the first time, the other trailer was so hype about it. Not that I'm not hype about this, but I was speechless. I just didn't know what to say. I was like, this is happening so fast. I am not ready.
And it's less than 2 weeks away.
And the hype has been building, right? Because we had the LA premiere take place this past weekend. In addition to this trailer, we got three clips that dropped that give us a little bit more of an in-depth look at a couple of scenes. And on top of that, we had Liam Cunningham on Conan's show, where he gave an interview but also gave an exclusive look at a scene from the first episode. So it's all kind of falling into... Can I just say, though...
It was awesome.
And I know that... You know, it was awesome, but I'm getting a little worried with the amount of press that Liam Cunningham is doing. You know, he's one of my favorite characters, Davos. Is that like a recipe for
no, you know where I'm going with this? They're playing to their strengths.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to be all over this season.
It's Lord Davos.
Right?
If we could ask for more of a person, there's a lot of great characters. But
I mean, he's leading armies.
So cool.
We're minus one host this week.
We love you, Eric Skull.
Yeah, he was so stunned by the recent trailer that... And now I know this might shock
you. He joined the White Walkers.
No, I was going to say words escaped him.
For the first time.
There's so much to unpack here from the LA madness out here. Just for the past, really, you could say just week, if you're involved in Game of Thrones at all, has been exciting. And it's just been a really good build-up compared to other years. Because at this point, there are those among us who have seen select episodes. And that's not the case.
Yeah.
There are those among us who have been able to report in certain ways because of that, or put forth a narrative based on their knowledge of the books. And again, this year is not the case. Mm-hmm. Season 6 is a new beast.
Yeah, and it's really the actors and the showrunners that are overly giddy about the fact that they know what the fans don't for the first time. In the existence of the show, as you were touching on, Zach, there are no book fans that are coming into this season that know what is going to happen. They don't know any of the major moments. They don't know who's going to live. They don't know who's going to die. And for me as a fan, being in that situation, I know everybody is in that situation now on our show, but that wasn't the case in years past. And so I'm just looking forward to approaching this season much like I approached the first season of Game of Thrones, in that I had absolutely no idea from one episode to the next what was going to happen, how shocking those moments were when Bran got pushed out a window and Ned had his head chopped off at Baelor. It's just, I don't know how to describe it. You're watching these trailers and it's all brand new. You take it all in.
Yeah.
You can talk like we are right now. You can theorize and it's great.
I feel like everything that's going to happen in season 6 is going to make Ned's head getting chopped off seem like a minuscule plot point compared to what we're seeing.
And it looks like that one Sir Robert Strong can rip somebody's head off just with
his
bare
fingers.
Well,
we've seen him smash someone's head off.
So where do we even begin?
I mean, we've used a photograph at Watchers of a man in Targaryen armor stabbing a man not in Targaryen armor. And that could be dove into a little bit. But let's just appreciate that moment. We've seen another angle we've seen a few angles of that specific scene just from this one trailer, but over the course of these last trailers. And we've seen a lot of a concentration of similar things. I think it would be terrible of us to not mention the fact that we've gotten to see another angle of the White Walkers walking toward the flame.
What about all four of them on their horses just there?
I don't know what to say.
I know. I just feel speechless.
I think that's one theme that runs throughout the course of this trailer, and it's going to run throughout all of season six, and that is that the war has now shifted. And you have Davos leading the charge. There's a clip here where he's trying to rally a house that looks very much like House Mormont from the Sigil. So very nice job in terms of the showrunners dropping Lyanna Mormont's letter to Stannis.
Yeah.
I hope she's the one that Davos is talking to.
It'll be like the scene with Rickon and Bran before, but a lot different.
But the key focus, at least to me, one of the key focuses of this season appears to be the battle for the North. And there's clearly a battle that's going to take place between the Wildlings and the Boltons, but then also how does the entire North kind of rally together around what is clearly the biggest threat to them, and that is the White Walkers, who got some serious airtime for the first time ever in a trailer that I can remember.
Mm-hmm. Characteristically, these trailers have been so much more concentrative of White Walkers, and we've talked about this in our trailer episodes in the past, so I'm curious, because traditionally we haven't seen a lot of the footage that are put into these trailers beforehand extend past the middle half of what actually takes place in the season. So if this is what we're already getting now, a guy with Targaryen armor stabbing another man to the chest ferociously, four White Walkers standing in a row, four White Walkers walking toward a flame from two different angles, not to mention everything else, season six is going to be fucking crazy at the end.
Now these White Walkers, though, they've been established as characters enough so that you can actually give them
a spot in a trailer.
And it's not just, for so long, they've been part of the periphery, right? And it's been those cut scenes, except maybe for Hardhome, where they played a pivotal role. But all the other times that we've encountered them, it's been in these very sort of creepy moments. I'm thinking back to when Craster's baby boy was taken and looked to be sacrificed upon that altar.
Or changed.
Those types of moments. Even going back to the very beginning of the show, in season one, you know, the prologue of A Game of Thrones. Now it's they're integral. They're here.
Now they're in the trailer.
Multiple times, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Touching Bran's arm.
Yeah, touching Bran's arm. I feel like the first trailer that we got, I mean, we didn't really quite know what role they were going to play yet. I think we had hope or an inkling, but I think exactly to your point, not only did we get flashes of them, but they're present. And it's only
and
through half of the season.
They're kicking ass and taking names,
yeah.
It looks like.
Yeah.
Did you guys see the speculation and the close-up photographs of the Night's King? I forget what the timestamp is. You'll have to go look. Where he appears to have a large horn slung around his shoulders on his back.
I couldn't decide if I thought that was a horn or a sword.
Right. I mean,
there's some speculation about that. I don't know where I fall.
Yeah, I'm looking at that still right now.
So what do you think?
That horse looks like he's seen better days.
Yeah, it looks like the Lich King's horse.
It could be a horn. It could be a sword.
Let's just say hypothetically, it is the horn. That's just, it's overpowered. They're already who they are. They really don't need the Horn of Winter at this point. And can we go back to Sam and the boys digging the latrine and finding the obsidian with that small horn there? It's like, that's been out of the picture for a while now.
Yeah, they're going to need as much obsidian as they can possibly find.
And we talked about how we feel the White Walkers are moving forth in the scenes that are in these trailers, and we've just gotten another angle of those scenes. So if you listen to our March Madness episode, we kind of jump on that a lot. I feel like, though, this trailer showed us so much more of, like you said, Micah, the centerpiece of this battle for the North, and more specifically, another glimpse at Sansa wearing the direwolf sigil across the chest of her dress, and what appeared to be the same exact location that Davos was standing with the Mormont sigil in the background. I've seen pictures placed beside each other that match the chandelier and match the window, and the color temperature and the set appears to be the same. So what do we think about that?
So, I mean, I can't even talk about how excited I am for her her plot line in this season, because I think she's obviously rallying for the North, and I think obviously with Davos, which is cool, really cool to think about.
Awesome combo. Yeah.
Yeah.
You can't have Sansa and Davos in the same team. The show.
It looks like they are, though. I mean, I think that they're trying to, at least from the fact that those pictures place them in the same spot, I feel like.
Yeah.
If they're fighting for the North, then they're going to be doing it together.
And I know that George R. R. Martin likes to lull us into these false senses of security, but to me, finally, it looks like, at least for the time being from these pictures, that Sansa is safe.
Yeah, and it's time for her to take back. It's exactly what she says.
That's the line, yeah.
Yeah.
What does she say?
She says, it's all I think about. Go for
what was taken from me?
And then it shows the shots of Walder and of Ramsay.
Yeah. Oh. How about that? The phrase for the first time.
I know. Walder Frey in a Game of Thrones season 6 trailer.
She's
I feel like we got to see a Lannister camp again. When's the last time we saw a Lannister camp? Like Whispering Woods with all those tents? It's been a while.
When I saw Walder Frey, it did make me wonder, and I don't know what you guys think about this.
Did you
if
throw
you think
up?
That well, yes, but also do you think that Sansa will pick up some of the Lady Stoneheart plotline in her revenge? You know what I mean? Like, that was one of my thoughts, is maybe if we're not going to get Lady Stoneheart, then maybe Sansa's going to play that part a little bit.
I hope
going
so.
Going forward.
Hmm. I think we've been waiting, as book fans anyway, to see Lady Stoneheart in the show. That's most likely not going to happen, but
I'm still hoping.
There's always a chance, right?
Yeah. I think
season
so.
Season 7.
I think season 6. Maybe. I didn't mean to derail you, Micah, but I'm just...
No. I think we've talked a little bit about this, right, when we were in season 5, and just Sansa's appearance at times, the way that she was cloaked, it was very reminiscent of Lady Stoneheart, and mm-hmm. I really hope that she does take on some of the role that Lady Stoneheart has in the series. And I think that it, should she not appear in the show, obviously, it makes sense. And Sansa has certainly become a character that is just at this moment really, really itching for revenge. And that includes everything that happened last season with Ramsay, to what the Freys are responsible for the Red Wedding. And obviously the Boltons played a massive role in that as well.
Don't forget Lady.
What's that?
Revenge for Lady.
Yeah, always. Revenge for Lady. That's going all the way back to the Lannisters, but
she said,
why stop at just the Boltons and the Freys?
Yeah, let's
keep going.
Go all out. She seems like she's in the position to do so.
Well, yeah.
At least
from
the trailer.
It's looking like that, right? If she's standing in the same room as Davos, and he's trying to convince the Mormonts to fight with them, and he holds up his hand and shows his fingers missing, and like it finally convinces them.
It's interesting that you would have these two characters really trying to rally the North, unify the North against the Boltons and against those that are in power. But I feel like now is the time, finally, and maybe Sansa even will become more powerful than Baelish had expected. There's a couple of shots of him in this trailer where he looks a little bit concerned, and maybe things aren't going exactly the way that he planned them.
He lost his horse. He's just out there in the snow by himself without any snowshoes.
Mm-hmm.
I do think that Sansa is a weak point for him, regardless of what happens. And so I'm really, really excited.
Yeah.
I'm just really excited.
So we're talking about the trailer, and so the trailer does make it seem like that's what's happening. So it would be interesting to see if it's all been sort of a misdirection, because I know that the earlier shots we got of Sansa, she seemed to be in distress, and now she's wearing Stark clothing and standing potentially in the same room as Lord Davos, who later is standing in front of men on a battlefield. So it's a curious situation, but I mean, what it looks like is she's going to be a part of this battle, and she's going to be leading sort of like a contingent of it if she's involved with Davos.
Can we start chanting Queen in the North yet?
Yeah, I think that's what the chant's going to be.
Okay, perfect.
And good thing that we all learned our house sigils from Old Nan, that we could pick out Mormont, we can pick out Umber, we can pick out Tully as well at one point in this trailer. How about Brienne and Podrick at River Run?
Back together, the dynamic duo.
Who are they going to join? That's what I'm interested. Is it Edmure? I mean, he's probably a little bit preoccupied.
Isn't Brendan Tully still alive?
Yeah.
He is.
As far as I know.
Yeah, as far as we know.
So the situation in Feast. See, this is where I'm so intrigued because we saw more of Jamie. And first we saw him interacting with the High Sparrow when they had that line. I can't remember the line exactly. What was the line?
Oh, something about spilling blood.
Yeah, we spill blood here. And he's like, I don't think the gods will mind. They spill more blood than...
The High Sparrow says, you would spill blood in this holy place. To which Jamie replies, the gods won't mind. They spill more blood than the rest of us combined.
Shot to Jacken, cutting off someone's face.
Yeah, casually
cutting
off
someone's face. I think my note on that was Jamie gives zero fucks with the High Sparrow things.
Mm-hmm. So his stuff with the... coupled with Cersei's line about him leading... You know, being at the front of the army, leading and sort of representing the Lannisters, traveling for his station and releasing captives and making sure allegiances lie in the right direction in the name of King Tommen, like he does in A Feast for Crows. I'm interested to see how that's going to coordinate with the fact that we just saw Brienne and Podrick standing in front of a Tully banner.
Yeah.
Did you notice that he's wearing Lannister armor?
Are you serious?
Yeah, he's wearing Lannister armor. Wow. In the shot of him riding in the Lannister camp.
Damn.
So I don't know what that means.
It means he means business.
It means we get two cool custom armor situations.
Yeah. But him hooking... I mean, if we get him and Brienne back in the same
vicinity.
Scene, yeah, I mean, I think everyone will just be super excited about that.
I think Jamie would be pretty excited about that, too.
I think so, too.
So I don't know. I just... It's hard to say because that's, you know, we're speculating here. This isn't an episode to tune into. Like, we want the answers. These guys are experts. They're going to decode what happens. At this point, it's kind of difficult to decode what's happening. Some of the stuff is blaringly clear, and I'm scratching my head and wondering, wow, I wonder why so much of that would be put into a trailer. And some other things are just really foggy.
It just seems to be, throughout this trailer, all out chaos. And war, right?
Mm-hmm.
And even war amongst the people. I think there's a direct comparison, and we've made it before, between really what's happening in King's Landing with the Faith Militant rising up against the Lannisters and what Dany was facing in Meereen with the Sons of the Harpy. So both of them are in this power struggle, and that's in a way in contrast to what's going on up north, where it's just all out war, swords clashing with each other, people dying, but people are dying in both instances. It's just a little bit different. But it seems like things are finally going to come to a head in King's Landing, and the High Sparrow is in trouble.
If Mace Tyrell's sitting on a horse with that large flamboyant hat isn't saying that things are about to come to a head in King's Landing enough, I don't know what will.
Right. He's not just going out for a casual ride.
No, you never know. Mace, he's a weird guy.
No, he's decorative, all right? He was just singing in Bravos. He's representing the crown well, you know?
Mm-hmm.
He is. It's like he pines for the days of Lord Went's tourney with these Targaryen helms with the large ceramic dragons and things. Like, he's just representing... And I like it. I like it a lot.
Yeah. I'm excited.
Good.
I was just going to say I'm excited for the Faith Militant to just get wrecked.
Well, that seems to happen from what we saw on the trailer.
Yeah. So.
What if Robert Strong only kills people the way he killed Oberyn? He doesn't actually use a sword. Oh, he just smashes people.
I hate that.
Also, do you think the shadow, the guy getting stabbed in the back, I know a lot of readers and listeners have written and have said that's Jaime killing the Mad King.
Yeah.
That's a silhouette of Jaime killing the Mad King. Look at the reflections. What do you guys think?
That's so cool. I definitely think that's what that is.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely. I think because there's a moment where it kind of cuts between the High Sparrow, I think, and it doesn't look the same. And so I think they're trying to like fake you out, but it definitely matches the throne room, right? I mean, you freeze that frame and stare at it for a couple hours, and I definitely think that's what it is.
I think after a couple hours, it would pretty much look like anything.
Well, I thought it was a reflection of Robert Strong, but I have to go back and take a closer look. So, see, this is what I love about all the speculation that can go on, and none of it is right, none of it's wrong. And
we'll be taking more of your thoughts and theories as the days progress, because Eric is still going to have to at the beginning of next week's episode in some way.
Like, Eric's going to do his own episode, actually.
That would be great.
I think a lot of the impetus for what we see around how the Lannisters are acting in this trailer is directly a result of what happened to Myrcella. And there's a clip that we're going to take a look at a little bit later on in this episode between Jaime and Cersei, what appears to be immediately following his arrival back to King's Landing with Myrcella's body. And so I think the reactions that we see, especially from Cersei, but even from Jaime, in these moments, these interactions that he's having with the High Sparrow, I think a lot of it is driven now by what he has seen happen to his family, and now he is going to do what is necessary to protect it.
You know, I think that it's almost like they have nothing to lose at this point, because, I mean, Cersei's already lost so much. What else is there? Tommen? Mm-hmm. I definitely think she's got nothing to lose.
No, she doesn't. And what I wonder, though, is, Zach, you mentioned how Mace Tyrell is there next to Jaime. Has the story been flipped around a little bit by Cersei in terms of how Margaery and Loras have ended up in the Black Cells? Like, because really they're there because of Cersei, but I wonder if the tale has been told to Mace that they ended up there because of the Faith Militant, and the Faith Militant explicitly.
It's less her fault in the TV series than in the books.
That is true also.
You know what I mean? Like, I would be more insistent if they were adapted the same way. I would say that there's definitely been some hoodwinking here. But this could simply be the case of, no matter who's to blame, the High Sparrow is not releasing his captives until certain trials are done. And this is a travesty, because this is the capital of the Seven Kingdoms, and we, the governing, don't have a say in our family who are in cells. So it's a tough call. I think that no matter what, if it were Cersei's fault or not, that Mace would stand up to them, you know?
It's interesting you bring that up, because it is more her fault in the books. She really sets Margaery up.
Oh, dude.
Versus in the show, I would say she probably sets Loras up more than
Cersei
than Margaery.
Destroys them in the books.
Yeah.
Let's head east a little bit in this trailer, because there is a lot taking place from Braavos to Meereen.
Volantis.
To Volantis to Vyas Dothrak.
You think that they've made it to the Dosh Kaleen?
It appears from a certain scene that Danny goes through.
They don't look haggard or crony.
This is Hollywood.
that's true, but you know what I'm saying. They've gotten the Maggie the Frog treatment, I think. They're just, I don't know.
They're not too crony.
Danny in this trailer seems very reminiscent of season one Danny to me. And it's something that we've been talking about, her posture and her situation. And so
you're talking about the fact that she had her clothes taken off as well?
Well, yeah, that too. So,
well, Dany is off dealing with the crones. Tyrion is ruling Meereen, or at least trying to, and no trailer would be complete without a witty remark from Tyrion Lannister, and he makes it known to Varys, to Missandei, and to Grey Worm that dragons do not do well in captivity. And then Missandei responded by saying,
"How do you know this?"
To what? Which he says, "That's what I do. I drink and I know things."
Like Hannah and Mike have rehearsed before we recorded. You guys got this rapport I don't know about. I want to read one line.
Just one. Sorry. Just one.
Okay, so he drinks and he knows things, and he gets to fulfill his childhood dream.
Yeah.
Of which we're very excited about. We thought it could happen. We were excited in the last trailer. We were like, hey, Tyrion's looking up at something that has a source of light. It could be a very normally placed torch, or it could be a dragon. And it's two.
It's
congratulations.
It made me think about, we just talked about this in the books, about Tyrion as a kid and how much he loved dragons and how he wanted one for himself. So of course he's going to know a lot about dragons, because he's probably read a lot about them.
I think they'll get off pretty well, right?
Tyrion and
the dragons.
And the dragons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't know, I heard some people kind of chatting about this, whether Tyrion's going to take over Quentin's storyline.
Yeah.
Which we haven't talked about yet from A Dance of Dragons, but
I hope not.
I mean, maybe taking over his storyline without dying. You know what I mean?
Right.
That would suck. I mean, yeah. Quentin kind of gets burnt to a crisp. Spoiler alert.
God, I just love
that we can mention that name.
That, and I want to talk about it, because I loved how he was used in the series. I just, there at the end of A Dance of Dragons, I just kind of had my jaw resting on the ground. It was so fun.
I mean, we will be able to talk about it if Tyrion does take over some of those things. So I don't think he's going to die, but
what would he take over necessarily? Not the marriage pact. I'm trying to think of what else there would be, because maybe taking the dragons.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking.
Yeah. Or at least being the impetus for the dragons escaping, and we don't know yet what the plan is inside of the actual storyline for the dragons being out and with Dany being on the run. So there could be a situation there where Tyrion, maybe by mistake, helps them to be released. I'm not sure.
Right.
I have to make sure Eric doesn't listen to this episode.
Spoiler alert.
And how will Tyrion ultimately be able to handle ruling Meereen? I think we know how he was able to really keep things in order when he was Hand of the King in King's Landing. But there's also that scene with him and Varys and what appears to be a Red Priestess. And at least upon her departure, she looks very, very content. Whereas Varys kind of has a, I don't know, look on his face. So how will the Red God, knowing how massively he failed Melisandre last season, play a role in Meereen? You know, what could a Red Priestess possibly want with these two characters?
Do you think that the title of episode one being called The Red Woman refers to that and not Melisandre?
That's probably the case.
Dual meaning.
Yeah, it might be dual.
Might be
quadruple meaning.
Yeah, I doubt it means one.
Remember when they were visiting Volantis, the moment where they were speaking about, the woman was speaking about Dany as Azor Ahai, as the one that's come to save them. And she gave Tyrion that pretty harsh stare down, which made us get excited about maybe there's some dragon blood in him or something. Interesting enough to catch their eye. So I'm thinking that this is just a furthering of the relationship with them. And if I could put my best guess on the matter, it has something to do with them controlling the state of things in the city, because I think now in such a time of unrest, we got to think about Meereen after the fighting pits have happened, that people are needing religion now more than ever.
Right. And there's a shot of the Sons of the Harpy looking like they have just attacked some of the Meereenese, and they're looking back at something. It'd be interesting to know what exactly they're looking back at.
It's Tyrion on Rhaegal.
No.
Yeah, awesome. They do look startled.
It's hard to tell. They have those big masks on, but
you can't read their expression, I guess.
Can you imagine how just wild the Sons of the Harpy are going to be with Dany outside of the city? Just not there anymore?
Tyrion may need a few dragons to keep them in check.
Yeah, that's going to be so fun to watch. So I'm glad we got to see more of that. And I hope that goes well.
And our good friend Jorah is still dealing with a bit of grayscale.
It looks even dustier than ever.
Yeah. It's so sad. I hope that he just goes out just crazy. You know what I mean? I hope that he's like
he kills the Night's King.
Yeah, like he's this incredibly Khaleesi! Gallant knight. Yeah,
and kills the Night's King.
Yeah. I hope that that's how he goes. I don't want him to just slowly die from this.
I don't want him to die. I want him to hang around and be there at the end. You know, he's been a really fun character, Jorah. And like the other business we're having with the Mormonts, it's fun that they're connected. I know that that's kind of an asinine thought line, but it's worth bringing up.
The world is contracting a little bit. It's getting smaller. And we're finally, all these storylines are starting to cross over each other. And even little stuff like that. I think that a lot of the time this world that we're playing in feels very disjointed and big, and I feel it getting smaller as everybody realizes that they're just going to get killed by White Walkers. So,
or be burned on a cross in front of Winterfell, because apparently right now there are like 30. There's a lot of them. There weren't 30, but there was a good handful of key, well, we can only assume are key players burning in front of Winterfell.
Man.
Maybe it's the Boltons.
Well, yeah.
I hope so.
No, maybe it is. Maybe it's a little taste of their own medicine.
Who else would it be?
Another character that got a fair amount of screen time in this trailer was Arya. And she looked like she went a couple rounds with the Waif and was worse off every single time.
That one part when she flips back up, though, that was so cool.
It's a bit like a Mortal Kombat scene.
It was very ninja-esque hand-to-hand combat.
Yeah, I feel like we didn't learn too much about Arya. I mean, correct me if you think that I'm wrong, but...
We learned that she gets no more chances.
So clearly she screwed up something again.
I just want to get her to get out of there and just start doing some real stuff.
And I know that Eric is not here, but there was a lot of Greyjoy action if you looked very closely.
Literally.
And if you listen closely, you can hear him cheering from home.
Yeah, with the train behind. There was Yara. There was Theon. There was Euron.
Mm-hmm.
No Balin. I didn't see him.
There was that nice foggy shot of Pike.
It looked
very spooky, very foggy. Hannah linked
this
up
gonna happen.
To another version of the trailer where someone had gone in and brightened it because this is... You know, the darkest television show of all time. And we got to see it even clearer in the updated one. So Pike looks intricate, and we got to see the same side of Euron.
We talked about next episode as we look ahead to season six, like giving our top five of characters who will not make it through season six. I was going to even say, like, I don't even think we can put Balin Greyjoy in that category because, like, to me, he's done episode one.
We should also do top five characters that won't make it past episode one.
Now, that would be interesting.
I put my money on the Waif. Arya's going to take her out.
I know. I'm going to pick, like, super easy characters like that so I don't have to make hard choices.
Mm-hmm.
But Yara, she looks sad in one of these shots.
In another shot, she looks very happy when she's kissing the Valantian woman.
She looks all over the place, honestly.
Yeah, peaks and valleys, Zach.
Peaks and valleys. She's got Baelish's magic carpet, and she's traveling all over Westeros and Essos, taking names. She's like borrowing a page out of Euron's book.
I worry for Theon, though.
Yeah, I was going to say, do you think that that's Yara that he's crying to? I know we talked about that last trailer, but you think it's Lady Stoneheart?
I don't know. I hope it is, but it's Yara.
You can be on that Lady Stoneheart hype train. That's cool with me.
I am, but I shouldn't say that that's her. I looked at that cheek already close enough. I was like, it does not look like pudding. That's not her. Why haven't we seen In McShane yet?
Because he does things that we're not supposed to know that he does, except he leaks that out to media.
So you think it's okay to see the four horsemen of the apocalypse standing in front of fire, walking into fire in a trailer, but not even just a shot of Ian McShane's face?
Just real quick.
Just a quick shot, see him in character. Congratulations on being cast in Game of Thrones. You've been in everything that's cool. You know,
like one of those quick shots that you have to like watch the trailer at 0.25 speed to catch.
You talking about the shot with Podrick when he was getting yanked?
Yeah, I'm saying I would be fine with even if we just got something like that.
Me too.
Like the Niffler from Fantastic Beasts where he's like rolling on his butt through the...
Did you just name drop a Niffler? Whoa. Life is good when you can talk about a Niffler.
Mm-hmm. I think that Mike is my best friend.
Hopefully most of our audience knows what that is.
They're very annoying when you keep shiny objects in your office.
If not, go read Harry Potter.
Anyway, Podrick's hopefully safe and sound. I think that was just a little joke, right? Some listeners think that it is Bronn who's given him the old what for.
I hope so.
It'd be cool if they were back together. Just looking at banners in the distance and telling each other what they look like.
Can you imagine just Bronn and Podrick and Brienne? They're with the Tullys. I mean, the whole army of just all of our faves.
It's contracting.
Yeah, like you said, Davos, Mormont.
Sansa doing business with one another. I mean, do you remember how we felt when Davos and Jon, and you guys knew that. And so seeing Davos with Sansa here, and clearly he makes it past whatever drama is happening at Castle Black. Should we just watch that clip? Let's watch it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, let's watch it. This was the clip from Conan O'Brien.
Conan, thank you
for everything.
Also, we should make note of the fact that Liam Cunningham also revealed the fact that George R. R. Martin told him something that nobody else knows.
I hate that, and I love it.
He's our Snape.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking.
I've never been much of a fighter.
Good boy.
Apologies for what you're about to see.
Ghost is the best.
Come on.
there's so much hesitation too on their part.
I know. He knows it. Look at Davos.
This season's gonna be awesome.
There's freaking Ollie. There's Ollie. I know. It's happening. It's happening.
They're almost through.
All right.
Okay.
And then it just cuts off. I gotta say, that scene where Davos says apologies for what you're about to see is probably the single most exciting thing out of anything that we have seen
badass
so far before season six. Yeah, that's the thing that gets me so excited.
It's easy to get caught up in the hubbub of the things happening with the White Walkers, but when you get to the feelings, which I feel like this trailer really did, apart from the other ones, was just really get to the feelings of some of these characters. And I hope you're not right about
another
Liam
plug
Cunningham
for Ghost Kills Ollie.
2K16.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If I were Ollie, I would
go. Standing on the other side of the door.
I would run.
Oh, God. I can't wait to see that child be murdered on this TV show.
we're kind-hearted people, really.
Well, since we're in the clip mood right now.
Which one do you want to start with?
Let's start with Cersei and Jaime. We mentioned this one earlier. Jaime has returned, and he is speaking with Cersei.
Do you remember the first time you saw a dead body?
Mother.
All I could think about when she died was what would happen to her now. Every day, every night. What does Mama look like now? Has she started to bloat?
Ugh.
Has her skin turned black? Have her lips peeled back from her teeth? I think about locking Marcella in a crypt. I think about her beautiful little face starting to collapse.
Don't think about it.
I have to.
I just can't believe that Marcella is dead.
That was a powerful scene.
Yeah.
That was my first time watching it. That was a powerful scene.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, really powerful scene. And goes back a little bit earlier on in the episode when I said that, you know, I felt like this was a huge driving factor behind how we see both Cersei and Jaime's characters interact with the Faith Militant and respond to everything that's going on in this world. Clearly, there's going to be, at least in my mind, I would hope, some sort of retribution towards Dorne for what happened to Marcella. But also just knowing that now they're going to basically play this game now like they have nothing to lose because they've lost so much already.
Yeah, and you can really see that.
I choose violence
in this scene here.
It's going to add a neat spin to Jaime's forward motion because he didn't have that necessarily before.
Do you think we're going to finally get Jaime the redemption that he hasn't gotten in the show yet?
I don't know. I think that they tried for that.
Maybe. I don't know.
I think I understand a lot of the other footage from the trailer with Jaime and Cersei before, because man, they're really sharing a heart to heart, like a very heartfelt moment there. I'm glad that it's not just anger and resentment, because they've had to go through losing a child before. That was a really, really good scene. I'm excited.
And thanks to this second clip from HBO, we may have found out the answer as to whether or not Theon and Sansa truly survived that jump off of Winterfell. So creepy when you hear the dogs in the background.
They are not alone. It does look like Theon's limping.
Probably hurt. Music is so good. So good. Oh, I love this.
It's so beautiful too.
Oh my, yeah, this is great. This is great.
What a tease.
I'm excited. That was, yes.
It's intense. It really makes me worry for Theon.
I know.
I'm happy for Theon. I'm like cheering for him. You got out of there.
That's true.
You know, I hope that you get far away from those dogs. I hope Brienne flies in on her silver stallion, slays everyone around you. Podrick comes and saves the day.
Everybody lives happily ever after.
Is there any happiness in Game of Thrones? Like,
no.
My version of happiness is watching another clip from season 6 that I have not seen.
And it's the longest one yet.
Oh, mm-hmm. God. Is this a show Drogon being really, really huge?
I guess perhaps. We'll find out.
The Dothraki walk Khaleesi.
Oh man, this looks so good. All right, I'm officially even more hyped than
it's
I have
time.
Been.
Welcome home, Khaleesi.
The way that it was captured, apart from what was in it, it felt so bold and just like, all right, here's Vaes Dothrak, you know? Here's a shot of this is where they're going to meet inside of this place. Here, you could see her picked out so well, and the really long angle from the top of the horses, the statues. Mm-hmm. You could see her standing amongst the horde as it moved forward. Oh man, this is very promising. This is very, very promising.
Yeah, it's amazing though too how a character that we feel is that powerful can just be reduced to, depending on where she is in the world, to move your ass.
Like, I think it's good for her though, right?
Humbling, is that what you're saying?
Just part of, I don't know, taking on the mantle that she will take if she ends up being as fated as we believe that she will be. I don't think that she's going to let this go on too far.
She's got the trump card.
Drogon.
Also, she's just tough, right?
She is tough, yeah.
I wonder how long this Dothraki situation will last. Like, it'll probably be the first half of the season, right? Like, her coming to grips with what's happening.
She also understands the Dothraki in a way that she hasn't understood any of the other people that she's been with for a long time.
She does understand them.
It's a great point.
Well, these clips were fantastic, and the new trailer was great, and I'm really happy that we had the opportunity to come together and talk about this. I know that the book is still heavy on our mind. I'm thinking about the Quentin stuff and really just kind of squeezing all of that together and thinking about adaptations and getting a little bit romantic already for the chapter discussions that we're about to leave behind as we move into season 6. But this is another exciting time, right? Like, these conversations are grand in another way. So I'm looking forward to it.
It's like we were talking about when we were talking about what we were going to do for this episode, and I was like, how can we talk about the books at a time like this?
One of the things that I love about when a trailer comes out is it's a prelude to us getting owns for the season, and it's not going to be too long from now where we have to get that old satchel, right, Zach?
Yes.
Dump out all the owns that we'll receive from week to week, and just seeing the number that came in
this
with
afternoon.
Respect to this trailer. Yeah. In a very short period of time, if that's any indication of how many owns we're going to get this season. And the best part is they never disappoint. Like, they're so creative. They're so good. There's unbelievable hashtag creation, the likes of which I've never seen. And they're probably vastly inappropriate, but that just makes them all the better.
Let's get into these owns.
And the first over on Facebook comes from Stephanie Circo, who says, "My own goes to the gorgeous master player of the game, Sansa Stark. She's looking fierce as fuck and looks ready to take back everything that was stolen from her.
Hashtags.
Hashtag time for wolves. Hashtag wardeness of the north. Hashtag dress embroidery on point." On another note, though, that shot of Walder Frey... Sorry, that's Bobby Flay. On another note, though, that shot of Walder Frey looks new. There are men in Lannister armor at those tables, and they weren't present at the Red Wedding. I hope he trips and falls onto a needle this season.
Stephanie.
Don't we all?
Next, we have Steven Hauser, who says, owns for Tyrion for I drink and know things. Hashtag like a boss. Own for the wildlings to battling the Boltons. Time for the Boltons to get Blade.
Did you see the shot of just the mountains of people standing on top of mountains of people when the Boltons were fighting the wildlings? Like, that is going to be super intense.
Yeah.
All right. Daniela Harker writes, way too excited for Series 6. Own of the show for such an awesome buildup. All the trailers and teasers have been on point. My highlights of this one. Stark's kicking ass all over the place. Tyrion drinking and knowing things. Davos saying what we've been screaming at the TV for the last season. Just awesome stuff. Can't wait for the 24th of April.
Neither can we. Brandy got excited. She says, I think I'm too excited for Owens, but a rundown of my thoughts watching the trailer. Motherfucker, I want to see Tyrion ride a dragon. And quote, all I think about is what was taken from me. Yes, Sansa, yes. I want to see her rally the Northerners to her cause and tear the fucking Boltons apart. I have a good feeling Ramsay, Roos, or both will not survive this season.
Holy shit.
Walder Frey was in that trailer. Yes. Brienne is at River Run. Lady fucking Stoneheart. Sansa and Davos are in the same room with a Mormont sigil in the background. Mm-hmm. Queen in the North.
Mm-hmm. Queen in the North. Queen
Two exclamation points.
Frida Lovek says, Owen to Arya's moves at 126. Is she finally becoming a ninja assassin we always knew she would be?
Mm-hmm.
Also, Owen to Jaime being in River Run. Looks like he finally read the book and realized where he was supposed to be all along. shout outs to Davos at Bear Island. Is he talking to Lyanna Mormont by any chance? I hope so. And Tormund fighting under Stark banners.
Travis Cole, my own goes to Tyrion for being a straight boss ass pimp as usual. That's what I do. Drink and know things. Mic drop and imp walk out.
Emily Filio says, the Targaryen sigil on this knight's armor made me so happy, unlike the guy he's stabbing. I was worried the unlucky fighter was Jaime, but Sir Kebab has a right hand. Ouch. My own goes to Arya for that badass jump from her back to her feet. Someone's about to get the snot kicked out of them.
Daryl K. Patterson, a major own goes to the spoiler-free info from the special premiere party this week that not only informs us that this season premiere, more than any other season premiere, hits the ground running big time, but that at least half the scenes shown in the trailers take place very early in the season, so there's so much we haven't seen yet. The wait is killing me.
Louis-Philippe Pilon. Oh, my own goes to the one true queen in the North. We need a badass goth redhead to flame broil a little pervy Bolton lad who's desperately in need of some discipline. I don't know why I read that as a song title. Not going to happen. I know, but a man can dream.
A man can dream.
Jacqueline Grube. Wow. Buzzing with excitement. Own to the show. Own to Goo for sharing this time of happy anticipation with us. And someone's calling.
Hello,
wonder
George.
Who it could be.
Own to the show. Own to Goo for sharing this time of happy anticipation with us. And own to Sir Davos. He may not be a literate man, but I have a feeling he will teach us all.
Hey, Micah.
Quite possible.
I think that you should start giving Game of Thrones spoilers to telemarketers who are calling your house.
Yes! Yes!
All right, if it happens again, I'll pick up the phone.
Tony Richard, own goes to... Is it my turn?
Yeah, just...
Tony Richards, own goes to the frame of Walder Frey. Can't wait to see his ass get killed finally. What if he kills more people, Tony? Then what? Hopefully it's Arya Horseface that does it.
Sweet vengeance.
Laura Silva, I also have to give my owns to Sansa for learning the game and becoming such a good player.
Don't hate the player, hate the game.
Dave Clark, own goes to Tyrion, correlation and causation. Does he know things because he drinks, or does he drink because of what he knows? Both good questions.
Andrew Lim, own goes to Pod for being in the wrong place, Lannister army camp, at the right time, rescued by Bronn. Another deep question.
Janet Robinson says, Drogon owns everything with his shadow.
He's very big.
He's so huge.
Pretty much.
He grew.
Steven Vandenberg, my own goes to all these damn owns. Hashtag so many owns. Hashtag one own to rule them all.
That's funny. Charmaine Papworth, could Sansa be morphed into a Lady Stoneheart? It would be an interesting twist on the book.
Yeah.
She read
Charmaine
our minds.
Knows what's up. Cameron Ross says, my own goes to the fact that everything is nice and peaceful in Westeros. Certainly no bloodshed in this kingdom. Hashtag Seven Kingdoms travel agent. Hashtag ain't no party like a Night's King party. Sorry, I was like, hashtag ain't no party like a Night's King party.
Because a Night's King party never stops because he just brings himself back to life. He just saying, you died, and then you're back. Matt Workman, my own, goes to the Stark Sigil. Good to see the direwolf flying.
O'Neill McGlarty, my own goes to anyone who would go to a feast hosted by Walder Frey. And also, his own is Zombie Marjorie standing behind Loras, who is looking like a wannabe Theon.
That did creep me out. I thought it also could have been Euron. I was like, what is this? What is going on here? She looked scary.
Camilla Lusso, owned to Tyrion for drinking and knowing things, and owned to the gods for spilling more blood than the rest.
Cody Gordon, my own goes to the Bloody Hand, wherever it may be going.
Shannon Spicer, owned to Tyrion, who says, that's what I do. I drink and I know things. Best character ever.
Gavin Hoskins says, how do you pick just one own from that trailer? Have to give my own to Davos shout out to the White Walkers and the Night's King. Make no mistake, the dead are coming.
Hell yeah, they are.
Stephen McCarthy with the true zinger. My own goes to a possible future power couple, Sansa and Tormund Giantsbane.
Whoa.
A pair of powerful Kiss by Fire characters.
Let's be real. Anybody that Sansa's with is a power couple.
Well, I'm not going to be able to get that out of my mind, I don't think. All right. Over on Twitter, Wenda the White Fawn. Always good to hear from her. Own to Mace's helmet fluffery, and to the own I'll be giving to Jaime for his inevitable snarky remark about it.
Nice hat.
And our other good friend, Brienne of Tarth, responded to Wenda's tweet and said, damn it, that was mine. Okay, my own goes to Tommen and Cersei's buy one, get one matching haircuts.
The crown is in debt, man. After all. Bevan Boychuk, the best line is Tyrion. Everyone thinks this. That's what I do. I drink and I know things.
Next on Twitter, Scott Chadburn says, my own goes to Davos. Handier with a sword than he led us to believe, and clearly now the hashtag hand of the north.
Hand in the north.
Hand I in like the north. That. Hand in the hand north. In the north.
Big Blue Kool-Aid says, own to Tyrion meeting Dany's fire-breathing stepchildren.
The best kind of stepchildren.
At Manicular Bomb says, others are saying this is Unmountain, but my own goes to the possibility of this Kingslaying flashback.
The shadows.
I think that's what you're referring to.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right? I hope so, too.
A lot of people think that. Russ Elliott writes, my own goes to the Horse Lord that decided Dany does not need her shirt. Keep that for your collection, Karate Kid 2 style. God.
Slow motion riot.
The best kind.
My own goes to Mace Tyrell for his pompously plumed helm on Baelor steps. Who else could rock that? Hashtag no one. Hashtag we grow strong.
That's good.
That's awesome. Jeff Lightfoot says, own to the two traits needed to train a dragon, having read a lot about them in your youth and being drunk enough to try.
Quentin Martell. And Amy Calhoun writes, and yes, we're okay, Calhouns. Own to Sansa in that Stark emblem. She looks so badass and out for blood and taking charge for the first time in her life. Or the third or fourth, to be fair, Amy, right?
Nicholas Aang says, own to Davos. He'll own this whole season.
He's calling it now.
Travis Lylechek says, own to the great Sir Arthur Dayne for the dawn of his Game of Thrones career.
It is known.
It may be short-lived.
Heathen King, King of all Heathens, writes to us. He says, own to the Kingsguard and the Tower of Joy Vision, shish kebabbing one of Ned's men with a rage face to boot. Also, own to the score in the Theon Sansa scene. Spine tingling, menacing.
Yeah.
Completely agree. That was excellently done.
Wow, a lot of Calhouns coming up.
Right?
Jen Calhoun, no relation to Amy. Own to my heart for surviving being teased with the reunions of my favorite couples, Jamie and Brienne and Bronn and Pod.
Yes.
I love Broad.
OTP.
Secondary own to all the time I wasted at work watching this frame by frame. Hashtag getting paid for this.
Jen Calhoun knows what's up.
And Amy, her stepsister, aunt, mom, grandma, daughter, said back to her, you could say this trailer owned my productivity yesterday afternoon. I think it did for most people.
Next, we have Eric Cluth, who says, own to Davos being surrounded by men of the Night's Watch in an early scene and then finding out he makes it because he's in another scene.
Yeah.
Good point.
Yeah. Nope, not Chloe, writes. Own to Sansa's sweet dressmaking skills. Nowhere near the most dramatic shot of the trailer, but still the one that made me gasp.
Bacon Manatee agrees and says, own to Sansa for being back in Stark clothing and the future Queen of the North.
At Emessa on Twitter says, my own is to Brienne and Jaime's imminent reunion in the Riverlands.
They're going
to
take another bath.
Ugh, I can't
Blackfish,
wait.
Blackfish, they'll bathe together. Yeah. Philip Hobbs, P. Rob Hobb, Jaime Lannister with the Tyrell army at his back about to go sparrow hunting.
Jodha.
Ooh, I love
that. I wasn't expecting new footage, so the new trailer and clips owned my yesterday. I got zero work done. Can't wait for April 24th.
I sense a trend here.
I'm glad it's not. I'm not the only one. Kyle Perkisher says, own to Jaime calling out the gods. I don't know if that's such a good idea, but yes.
Good job, Jaime. Vivid Verdandi vividly writes, own to the intense music. It got me so pumped up. And owned Sansa for rocking the direwolf sigil and looking so formidable and badass.
And over on Patreon, we heard from Bannerman Gene S. Says, own to random lady who manages to walk away smirking, leaving Tyrion and Varys dumbfounded around 55 seconds. I saw speculation she's a Red Priestess. That should be very interesting, especially since neither of those two seem like big blood magic fans.
Especially not Varys, right?
No, yeah. Definitely not Varys.
Yeah, definitely not Varys.
And John Webster.
John!
Who gives a damn about whether John comes back or not? My own goes to the Queen of the North. Sansa's all decked out in furs and bearing the wolf sigil. The North remembers.
The North remembers.
That was a lot of owns.
That was a ton
of owns.
There were
good owns in there.
There were. There were. I like that. See? There was an own for the amount of owns that were coming in. Well, now that you've all been sufficiently one-linered, humored, and owned, I think this is a good moment to remind you, you can join the ranks of your fellow quick-witted and interestingly named associates that listen to this podcast just by writing into us. Tell us how you feel.
Mm-hmm. And don't despair. There's still plenty of time to do that before season 6 starts. And you can do so in any number of ways that we just read from. You can tweet at us at Game of Owns on Twitter, scroll upon our Facebook wall at facebook.com/Game of Owns, or shoot us an email, contact@GameOfOwns.com. And of course, Eric still has his full episode that he will do recounting many moments from the trailer and the clips that we just talked about.
That's going to be fun. So
going to be my new favorite podcast.
You know, we're going to get people writing in complaining that episode never came out, right?
Good.
He's going to be pissed that we even said that. But guys, I'm looking forward to the fact that we just have one more of our episodes between now in season 6. One more in addition to this one. So
it's coming.
It's crazy to think about. You know, we go through this whole off season that we call our on season, mm-hmm. because we jump into the books and we get into all the details of the chapters and the differences between the books and the show. And it's crazy to think that we are really now just one podcast away from talking about episode 1 of season 6.
That's wild. How long have we been talking about season 6? Since season 5 ended?
I feel like I've been talking about season 6 since probably season 3.
Season 1?
Or season 4, yeah.
Yeah.
Since we were sitting in Eric's kitchen following the finale of the 5th season in Chicago.
Mm-hmm. Hannah, this is going to be your first season podcasting with the show. I mean, like, how do you feel? Like, are you prepared?
I'm so excited. I feel nervous that I'm not going to be very eloquent, that I'm just going to be screaming through every episode.
I throw away every single episode that we record.
Like, yeah, that's true. No, I'm super, super excited to talk about the show with you guys. So it's gonna be really fun.
I'm really excited. It's like, if this is any indication, the excitement that you're all pushing forward, you know, we just put out the call for owns not too long ago when we started recording. It was just like a tidal wave of just getting prepared. And I don't know, all of our standards that have continued to write over the years have just helped make this a really fun experience. And to all of you that have just joined up recently and who will continue, like, there are years left to carve your own roles and become your own Brienne of Tarth.
It's way more fun when we do it all together. So
yeah, absolutely. And we have a lot of cool ideas planned for our next episode. Mentioned earlier, we'll do a little bit of a pool. Our top 5 characters who won't make it through season 6, but just a lot to look forward to coming off this trailer, coming off the clips. We can do a bit of theorizing of how season 6 will play out. And then, you know, 10 weeks later, we'll see just how wrong we were.
Yeah. So next week's episode is going to be a lot of fun. We want you to send us your thoughts. This is kind of the last opportunity, because once we're in the middle of season 6, That's it. You know, it's
going to happen so fast.
So you could write in and tell us what you think about that list. That was like Micah's just morbid idea to get us sad about what could possibly happen.
What better way to get us ready for season six? Yeah.
Well,
I'm sure plenty of other outlets and such have done that before, but I don't think we've ever done it. And
the fact that you can come up with some pretty five.
Look, we'll figure this out. And of course, you know, all you listening, send us in your top five. We will read it prior to episode one airing. So get your death pools in order. But I think one other thing that's important to mention really quickly here as we wrap up the show is that A Feast with Dragons will return post season six. I think we were all planning to at least get two more chapters in, but with the trailer dropping and the clips coming out and us now being so close to the start of the next season, we're gonna table it and we'll come back. And I think it'll be even better though for us to jump back into the books with having all the knowledge that we've gained from season six.
Absolutely.
And new reports of Winds of Winter, hopefully.
Come on, George, Jesus.
So shed a tear for A Feast with Dragons. It's been a lot of fun so far. And this is a perfect time to tell your friends who may be interested in listening to our podcast to listen to it with you. Because then you can, you know, laugh and cry.
I've spread it around the office a little bit.
Yeah, so do what Mike is doing. Spread the podcast around your office like a poison.
So that people know that you're spending your days at work watching trailers.
Like, wait, you said you didn't do any work yesterday.
Yeah.
And continue to review us and share us on iTunes and Twitter and all that good stuff.
Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, Vine.
I don't think we have Weibo. Vine.
MySpace.
Everything. Yeah, MySpace.
In the wise words of Maester Tannenbaum, a single podcast separates us from season six.
Next week, join us for that final episode.
I just have one thing left to say.
Who are you?
Zach. Hannah.
Mm-hmm.
Tell your father I'm here.